I think you've got to love Jonah. As we go through these 4 weeks, you may grow to be very disappointed in Jonah, and that would be okay, because I think that's how God feels by the end of the story. But you've got to love Jonah, because he is, well, he's like us. He's like us. He is not Isaiah. You remember Isaiah. God comes to Isaiah, and Isaiah is, he's like that annoying kid in the classroom. You remember that kid who, when the teacher asked a question, was jumping out of his chair. Oh, teacher, pick me, pick me. Isaiah. We get to Isaiah chapter 6, and we hear about, you know, and the voice of the Lord came to Isaiah. And, you know, if the voice of the Lord comes to you or I, generally we're humbled and a little scared. Isaiah's like, oh, God, hey, woo, woo. You're going to what? You're going to put fire on my tongue, and it's going to, I mean, let's be honest. Isaiah is terrifying because he seems mentally imbalanced in the way that he approaches God. He's just so excited to be there. And he's so excited for whatever God has in store for him. And, well, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I have not felt that way about God talking to me. There have been times when I've been excited when God's spoken to me, but there have been other times when God has reached out to me and I have been less than enthusiastic about what God was saying. Usually because before God sends us, God usually has to work on us first and tell us what we're doing wrong, at least some of the things we're doing wrong. And I know very few people who are really excited to hear constructive criticism. Any of you, the boss comes in and has constructive criticism? Are you like, oh boy, the boss is coming in? We've got a few students in here. Anytime you get a paper that you've turned in back and you see a lot of red ink on it, oh boy, the teacher graded my, and I got a C. We're not like that. We are much more likely to be like Jonah. The voice of God came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. And so Jonah went to Tarshish. He said, go here. And Jonah doesn't hesitate. You got to give credit. Jonah doesn't drag his feet. God says, go. Jonah packs his bags and runs the other way. And sometimes I think that is how we respond to God's call. God says, you know, I think it would be nice. Well, you know, God has talked to you. Sometimes we don't even have to think about it as God. Sometimes it's just our conscience or, you know, we notice something that's awry but uncomfortable. You know, it would be nice if you went, you know, there's somebody on the other side of the room, maybe even this morning, but maybe not in here, maybe at a party that somebody's throwing or a family reunion, and there's somebody across the way and nobody's talking to them, and you know why nobody's talking to them. It's because they're kind of a pain. And you know, if you start a conversation with them, they're going to talk about something you could care less about. And everybody else could care less about, and so that's why they're all over there by themselves. But there's that nagging voice in your head that goes, you know, they can't be having much fun. I should go over and talk to them. You know, somebody should go over and talk to them. And that's when you take a good opportunity to go get another cup of coffee or go back by and say, you know, my plate is empty and I haven't had enough food yet. Maybe I'll go get some more food. That's when you make sure that all your kids are safe. And if your kids are safe, you got to make sure all the kids are safe. So you make sure, you do the inventory of all the kids that are around. You do whatever you can to avoid going to talk to that person across the room. Because you don't want to. Right? Because it will be uncomfortable. And that's just a kind of humorous example. There are other things that God tells us or suggests that we might do. Those people may have the wrong idea about how they should live. Those people, maybe even people that we like a lot, have lived in a way that is less loving than they should, less charitable, less forgiving and gracious. You're going to jump right up and run over to them and tell, you know. No, most of us are going to do whatever we can to go, We're going to do our conflict avoidance strategy, you know, that we're taught when we're young. Best way to stay out of a fight, go away from it. But I wonder how often God whispers in our ear, God puts ideas in our heads of things that God would like us to do, including some uncomfortable things, and then all of a sudden God looks down and says, where'd they go? I was talking to Darlene, and where'd Darlene? And she went that way. I was, Juanita and Jack, they went that way. She went that way. Where's Josh? He's down underneath the deck of a ship as far away the opposite direction as you can find. That's what Jonah does. Jonah, God love him. Jonah is a prophet. Jonah does clearly hear God's word. Jonah does clearly understand God's word. Jonah is terrified of God's word and runs. He doesn't walk. He doesn't meander. He's not a teenager. He doesn't drag his feet. He doesn't go back and curl up in bed and turn off the alarm clock. He runs as fast as he can go the opposite way. And I just can't help but wonder how many times God doesn't look down at us and see us do the same thing. Now I hope as we study this story of Jonah, we come to understand one thing, and that is the only person that's really getting hurt by Jonah's actions is Jonah. In fact, that's when I say you probably will be disappointed by the end of the book. That's what we're going to be disappointed in. Because Jonah is an amazing story of God reaching out to Jonah and using Jonah to take truth to people, including some outcasts, and they all get the message. The one person in the story who consistently does not get the message is Jonah. The one who seems to be on the wavelength with God, who is on the wavelength with God, the one who clearly understands God's word. Because even though Jonah can hear God's word and can understand God's word, Jonah doesn't let it affect him. He doesn't let it change him. And when all is said and done, Jonah comes out the less for it. And so as we look at this prophet Jonah, I want us to consider that and consider that lesson for our own lives. Jonah is a prophet. He's not only chosen by God, but he has a relationship already with God. Like I imagine most of us in this room have a relationship with God already. The question is, what are we doing with it? How are we living it out? There's one other thing about Jonah that I want you to pay attention to as we go through these 4 weeks. And that is the fact that Jonah, a part of Jonah's problem is that Jonah acts as a lone wolf. It's just Jonah. Jonah doesn't have a team. He doesn't have assistants. Jonah's brother and sister and mom and dad and kids don't nudge him. Jonah doesn't have a religious community that can whisper in his ear, you know, Jonah, maybe you could look at this from a slightly different perspective and you would be happy. None of that. Jonah's all by himself. And in fact, that's noticeable in this morning's story, and it's going to be noticeable in 2 weeks in chapter 3. This morning, Jonah is surrounded by, both times he's going to be surrounded by groups of unbelievers. This morning, it's a group of unbelievers who are the crew on this ship. The storm comes up. They're all working furiously. They're tossing stuff overboard, trying to balance the ship so it's not sunk. They're working hard, all hands on deck, except for Jonah, who's asleep underneath the deck. Now, maybe if you were on a cruise ship, you would not be expected, if there was an all-hands-on-deck situation, to come up on deck and help out. But in the ancient world, where there weren't that many people on the ship in the first place, all hands on deck meant all hands on deck. But not Jonah. Not Jonah. Jonah's only worried about Jonah. And so all these storms are raging. The ship might sink, and Jonah doesn't care. Jonah doesn't follow not only God's rule, he doesn't follow the rule of the sea. He doesn't help out. He stays asleep. The captain eventually goes down there and says, Jonah, why don't you at least pray to your God Fine, you don't want to come up and bail water. You don't know which sails to put up and which ones to put down. You can't row. Pray to your God. Maybe your God will hear us and will save us. At least do that. No evidence that Jonah does that, by the way. And then the storm gets worse. Jonah finally comes up on deck. And the crew use an ancient system. In fact, it's talked about a couple other places in the Bible too. Casting lots to try and figure out what's going on. They come together. They consistently, I might editorialize, consistently behave better than Jonah does. The crew on the ship is working through the problem. The storm comes up, so they toss some stuff overboard to try and save the ship. That's not enough. Then they work harder. They row harder. That's not helping. So finally they say, this has got to be a curse from God. Who caused it? What caused it? They cast lots. They're working through methodically and constructively to solve the problem. By the way, we're going to see this again when Jonah takes the prophecy to Nineveh from the Ninevites. Consistently and constructively working through the problem. Except for Jonah. They shouldn't even have to cast lots. Jonah knows, if God's mad, Jonah knows who God's mad at. But Jonah keeps his mouth shut. And they cast lots. And the lot drawn is Jonah's. What's going on, Jonah? Even then, Jonah's a little quiet. Well, I'm a Hebrew and I believe in God. And finally, when there's no choice left, finally Jonah says, yeah, it's my fault. God's mad at me. I'm running away from God. Toss me overboard. The storm will be over. Finally. I mention that because frequently groups can get a bad reputation. Peer pressure, you know? The pressure of people around us to lead us astray. But in the book of Jonah, we're reminded that not all community pressure, not all group pressure is negative. It's not all peer pressure encouraging us to do the wrong things. Sometimes it is group pressure encouraging us to do the right things. And Jonah, just like Jonah's not quite open to God's teaching, he's not open to anybody else's suggestions either. And so he misses it. He misses the wisdom of the group, the helpful, constructive suggestions of the group, of other people around him. And I wonder how often you and I do the same thing. We get so worried on what's going on in our life, and even in our faith, we get so worried about what we're convinced God has told us we need to do, that we stop listening for the helpful, constructive suggestions from other people around us. I missed being with you last Sunday. I was happy for the vacation, but I missed being with you. Because one of the good things about being in community to worship is we're reminded of one another. And we're reminded why we worship in the first place. My relationship with God didn't suffer because I wasn't here. But my reminder of my relationship with God through you suffered because I wasn't here last week. One of the reasons we gather as a community of faith every 7 days is not because if we don't, the world's going to go to hell. It's not because if we don't, we're going to go to hell. It's because the church believes, mistakes though we make sometimes, that we can constructively and helpfully encourage one another in faith. Just by our mere presence with one another. And Jonah consistently misses out on that. And sometimes we do too. Because even when we're in a group, we close off our ears and we cover up our eyes and we me. All I'm thinking about is me. And sometimes that's necessary because sometimes people will lead us astray. But sometimes, maybe even often, that's going to keep us from being all that God wants us to be. And we're going to miss out on good opportunities. Because we've got our ears covered and our eyes closed and our tunnel vision on. So as we go through this story of Jonah and see how Jonah responds to God's call, I want us to consider how we respond to God's call. And more appropriately, how we could respond to God's call better. Because I think through these 4 weeks, we're going to see that Jonah could do things, some things, differently and better. And they'd be better for him. And I want us to think about, okay, what am I doing now with my response to God's call? What am I doing now living out the call of Christ to be a community of faith that practices love and compassion and forgiveness and grace? And what could I do better? What could you do better? That, I think, is the great opportunity of reading the story of Jonah. And it's why I've chosen it for us for this 4 weeks. Okay? So hopefully, in a few years, when God whispers in your ear and says, I want you to do something. When the word of the Lord comes to Jim, or to Grace, or to Lisa, I don't want God to look down 5 minutes later and say, where'd they go? They went that way. Because the only people that are going to fall out or who are going to be hurt by that are you guys. Not going to hurt God. Doesn't do anything to God. And if you don't go do what God wants you to do, you know what God will do? God will find somebody else to do it. God will find another way. The people that will be hurt by not doing it will be us. And what a shame. What a shame. If God were to look down at the world and to always be hunting for us and wonder why we're not where God asked us to be. Why we're always that away. That away. Okay? All right, well, that's enough for this week. Next week, our young people are going to lead us through most of the story of Jonah, but I hope they're going to focus especially on the most famous part of the story, where Jonah's underwater and in the belly of this mysterious, magical, gracious, great big fish. Amen? Amen. Amen.